This morning, if God would bless me to speak, and I certainly would ask for your prayers this morning, that the subject on my mind is giving, and you might think, well, that's something that comes natural this time of year. It does to some extent, because we're in the season where that thought is on our minds often, what we're going to give to someone or maybe what we're going to receive. Don't feel really prepared to speak on this subject this morning like I should, so pray for me that at least what I say this morning would be of a benefit to the Lord's people and glorifying to His name. The thought's been on my mind for quite some time, and you know, when we talk about giving, it goes far beyond monetary. I mean, that is something that's taught in the Bible, and it's a lesson that we need to know, but probably the greatest gift that you ever give anyone is the gift of your time. And that is what's upon my mind this morning. I want to thank everyone that went with us to sing last Sunday, that made time to do that and come to our house. And we're very thankful for you, very thankful for the blessings that we received. And may God richly bless you as we go forward. We don't realize sometimes that the things that we do in this life make a great difference in the lives of others. We take that for granted. We may think, well, I can't give a whole lot to the church. I don't have the financial means. But friends, all of us have far more time to dedicate in this life to the furtherance of God's kingdom and to His cause than any of us want to admit. You know, it's how we look at time. It's what we do with our time, I believe, that really matters and can make a difference in this world. And we'll try to look at both aspects of that. And I've thought about situations in my life where I had an opportunity to minister to someone. And I tell you, we all ought to be ministering, children of God, to others and to their needs. Not just the preacher of the church, but every one of us. When you go and visit someone in prison or in a nursing home or wherever you've gone, and whatever you've done, you've ministered unto those folks. You gave them, as Brother George said, a cool drink of water. And I tell you, that's important. It takes so little time for us to do that, and yet it's such a magnificent blessing to those who receive it. Now, I believe if we have the right mind and the right heart, we'll find another aspect of that, those great blessings in our life. You know, when I was a kid, I loved the Christmas time of the year. I loved the receiving end of things far more than I did the giving end of things. I thought more about what I was going to get from my mom and dad and my aunts and uncles or cousins or grandparents or whoever it was that might be buying a gift. It was all about the receiving of the gift. But, you know, I've been blessed to live long enough now that receiving something is not nearly as great a blessing to me as giving something to someone that needs something. When you give your children something, or you give a friend something, or you help someone that's in need or poor or whatever blessing, it's the blessing to me, at least at my age now, is far greater than any blessing I thought I was receiving as a young kid. When I was so excited about what I might get or what present might be mine under a Christmas tree. And, you know, that's things, I believe, that transpire with us from our youth into our older age. But it's a lesson that we learn that I believe is taught in God's Word. And if God would just bless us for a little bit this morning, we'll look at it. The words of Jesus Christ, spoken in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." The one thing that we want to understand from that verse is God didn't say there wasn't a blessing in receiving at all. There's no mention of that. And sometimes we read that and we take it in that context that we only really receive a blessing when we give and not when we receive. That's not so. There's a great blessing in receiving. But it says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It says the blessing is greater. It's more beneficial. And when done in the right spirit and in the right mind, I think it just makes a vast difference in our lives. Let's begin in John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's one of the most familiar verses in the entire Bible. And it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, there's a great blessing from both ends. And most of us probably never realized what the Word of God said there. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. God Himself, in His purpose and in His mind and His intent in the giving of His Son, was more blessed than you and I, having received the very gift of eternal life. Now, I believe the gift of eternal life is the greatest gift that any human being has ever received, and most of us take it for granted. We're not really thankful for it on a daily basis like we should. We just go on with life with the mindset that we're there, and in doing so, sometimes we don't give God praise and honor and so forth as we should. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says that we're to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. Think about that for just a moment. Every increase you have in life, you're to take a portion of that and you're to honor God with it. Do we all do that? I know there's been many years of my life that I haven't. But that's what Solomon says in his wisdom. All the substance you have today is to be used to honor God. Are you interested in honoring God? I hope so. Because everything you have today, you have because God blessed you to have it. If you don't honor God, you're not thankful. If you don't honor God with your substance, it tells me that you really don't love God. For God so loved you and me, hopefully, every one of us. He so loved us that he sent His only begotten Son, who was perfect and sinless, to die for us. And God got the greater blessing. You know why? We believe that all from who Jesus died will be in heaven. Everyone, not a one will fail to be there, because not one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ was shed in vain. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches that. Jesus didn't die in hope that some of us would do the right thing. Because if it's up to you and I to do the right thing, then we're a Savior to ourselves, and Jesus Christ is not our Savior. For she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's no offer there. There's no question about his purpose and intent in coming into this world. But God so loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened his people together with Christ, by grace were we saved. What a blessing that was. But God received the greater blessing, because when he sent his son, his law demanding perfection. In other words, anybody that sinned, and that collectively means every one of us, their sin had to be paid for. And there's not a soul living on the earth that can pay for even one sin that they committed, much less the hundreds and the thousands that we commit continuously going on through our life. But God knew that when he sent his son, when he gave the life of his only begotten son, that it would secure everyone that he gave the Son of God, or Jesus Christ, for. In other words, they would be secure, and it'd be guaranteed that they'd live with him in heaven. Now, you and I are recipients of that great blessing too. From our natural standpoint, how could we think there's ever been a greater blessing in the entirety of humanity than the gift of eternal life? Something that you and I could not buy, you and I could not purchase, and we could not earn. You see, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Had God not given his son, none of us would have ever received eternal life. He gave Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that perfect and sinless sacrifice to his people. And he died in our room instead. And he was nailed to a cross at Calvary. And by his finished work, you and I have been promised to live with God in glory forever and ever. It says, whosoever believeth. That's very important. You know, the world under consideration there means orderly arrangement. That's what the Greek word means. You find the world of evil, the world. You can find all kinds of world. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, in John chapter 17. Jesus tells us, John tells us in 1 John, love not the world. So there's many worlds spoken of in the entire Bible. But the world under consideration here are those for whom God gave his son for. God gave his son for him. It says in verse 21 of 1 Peter, who by him do believe in God. We believe in God because of the resurrecting power that God worked in our hearts and our souls. He told us by the word of Paul in first chapter of the book of Ephesians, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? It's in agreement with the mighty working of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You have to have the same power exercised on you to bring you out of state of death and trespasses and sins that the dead body in the cemetery will take to raise that body out of the grave. We who believe that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that our faith and our hope might be in God. This is a work of God, not a work of man. This is had nothing to do with our efforts. But God so loved that he gave. Now, as we get into this idea of giving, whether you're buying your children or your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad a present this year, or whatever it is you do in life, whether you feed the poor, you make a sacrifice. When it comes to giving, it finds its roots in love, followed by sacrifice. We see that God so loved that he was willing to give his son as an offering for our sins. And he accepted that offering. He didn't accept our offering. We don't have anything acceptable unto God. But he accepted the offering of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was satisfied with that offering because it was perfect and it was sinless. And that offering put away our sins as far as the east is from the west. So when we give something to someone, if it's not really rooted in love, if it's not rooted in your ability to make a sacrifice for them, then it's not real. It makes me question, do I really love God the way that I should love him? Do I love the Lord the way that I should love the Lord? You know, it's easy to love yourself if you're not careful more than anyone else in the world. Anyone. The Bible teaches us that that's a real problem in life, is the love of self. It's like Elder Ronald Lawrence said in a sermon I was listening to him preach. He said, the greatest enemy you will face is the one that you look at in the mirror when you get up every morning. That's the greatest enemy in this life that you'll face. Because the carnal desires of our flesh want what we want, and most of the time we want it now. And we're not willing to make a sacrifice. We're not willing to show the depth of our love for someone by giving a sacrifice. But God did. And aren't you thankful? But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gift of the Son of God was given to us because God has loved us with an everlasting love. His love was so great for you and I that he wanted the assurance that the penalty would be paid for the debt that we had, and it could only be paid by the Son of God. So he gave him to us. His life was taken by the hands of wicked men, but Jesus Christ laid down his life. He laid it down for you and I because he loved us. Because he knew that being perfect and sinless, that his life would pay for your sins. I don't know if any of us really understand that. I don't know that I understand that. That Jesus Christ paid for every sin you've ever committed and every sin you will ever commit. How could we not love him more than anyone upon this earth? I don't care who it is. He paid a debt that you could never pay. And in paying that debt, you have the assurance that you shall never perish. We receive the gift of eternal life because God received the greater blessing. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I mean, we can see in that statement alone that God sent his son to die for a particular people. And that Jesus died for those folks, and that every one of them he died for will live with him in heaven. Not a one will be left out. If one's left out, God is not just. Because we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 that he bore our sins in his body. If he paid for our sins, and he paid for them in full, and God demands that you suffer in hell once again for those same sins, God's not just. And he's not right, but the Bible declares that he is just and that he is right. Because Jesus did pay for the sins of all that were given to him by the Father. all that he gave his son for. This world known as God's elect that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. But he gave him to us because he loved us. And remember, anything that you do in this life in the way of giving is truly found in love and in sacrifice. You know, we live in a world that most of us don't realize what it is to sacrifice. You know, it's a sacrifice for you to put away the things of this world and to come into the house of the Lord and just to worship God. You've made a sacrifice. Just like when you bought someone a present, you sacrificed some of your money that you could have taken and bought you something else. But if the root of that sacrifice is not love, if you don't truly love them, then you're doing it out of duty or necessity. I want to go to 1 Corinthians. In this chapter, 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 9. And this chapter is talking about the disciples, the apostles, and the needs that they had. But the lessons taught on monetary giving to the church. I've heard people say, well, I just don't have any money to give to the church. But brothers and sisters, you're not trusting in the Lord if that's the case. You're not trusting in God at all. Because the woman in Luke chapter 21 who cast two mites, which was her entire living, into the treasury, gave more than all the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were given a numerical amount that was far greater. Because she gave everything she had, her heart. See, it's about the heart, and that's what this 2 Corinthians chapter 9 deals with. It deals with the heart. Everything according to religion deals with the heart. You know, Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There was a people in the past that were that way, and I believe there's a people in the present time that are that way. Giving has to come from the heart. It has to be rooted in love that you have for someone and the willingness to make a sacrifice to show them how much you love them. You know, it's one thing to tell people that you love them, I love you, but if you're not willing to go that extra step to make that sacrifice to show them, it questions how much you really love them. It really does. You know, God didn't just go part of the way, did he? He sent his only begotten son because he loved us so much that he was willing to give the life of the perfect, sinless Son of God so that you and I would be secured and guaranteed to live with him in heaven forever. What a blessing. I can see where it's more blessed. I can see where he got the great blessing. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He gave the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He gave his Son for our debt, for our sin. And by doing so, it secured our hope in heaven. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, I've heard a preacher say on a number of times, I know you believe in God, but do we really believe what God says? That's where faith really comes in. Do we believe that if we sow sparingly, that we'll reap very few blessings in life? Do we believe that? Or do we believe it matters? Paul says the bountiful sower will reap bountiful blessings. Let's notice what continue on. It says in verse 7, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart. As he hath purposed in his heart. Giving is always a matter of the heart. Sacrifice is always a matter of the heart. You know, Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible teaches of the heart being hardened and calloused over. Do you give to those in need? Do you make the sacrifice? Is it worth the blessings? Is it worth the benefit? Notice what he says. And God, and every man according to as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. True giving, that is, rooted in love, which brings forth the sacrifice, begins in the heart. It does. If you love someone enough, there's not much that you won't give up to help them, to benefit them, to bring a blessing into their life. There's just not much you won't do. But if you love yourself more than you love them, there's very little you'll give up in life for the sake of what you call love. You see, we want to know what love really is. All we got to do is look at a picture of the Lord our God. You know what love is. He didn't just tell us He loved us. He went way further than that. He paid a debt that you and I could never pay and give us the earnest expectation, the anchor of our soul, that we know one day we'll live in heaven. You know, I've seen some men that will give up and sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Brother Wade's daddy was one of them. He was the most sacrificing man that I have ever witnessed in my life for the cause of Jesus Christ. I don't live up to that standard, and not many men do. But I tell you, he believed in being an example unto others, and he was. He was a great example unto me. And how better would this world be if we took his attitude? There was nothing that he wouldn't put aside. There was nothing he wouldn't sacrifice for the good of someone else. He was willing to give up trips, vacations, you name it. He gave it up for the cause and the good of the kingdom of God and the Lord's people. I wish I'd have learned that from him a little better than I've learned it. Because I'll never forget it as long as I live. I know another man in the same way. And unfortunately, I don't fit that category. But the Bible teaches that. That kind of love and that kind of sacrifice came from the heart. He loved us that much. When I went through the most difficult times of my life, he was there every step of the way, doing whatever he could. Are we willing to do that for others? And that's probably what's brought it up on my mind. You know, I've got a cousin out there that I didn't see a lot that I've tried to make a commitment in my mind to give time to because she's struggling. But how easy is it us to go back to life, to walk back home after church is over or after a few weeks or just a few months, get entangled again in the life that we live and forget about those who stand in need? It doesn't go away. I can witness to that today. It doesn't go away in a few weeks or a few months. For many, many folks that have walked that road know it. And they need our help. But we live in such a world, we're so busy with our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own jobs, our own work. Everything has become so important in this life that we fail oftentimes to sacrifice the time that we need to help those in need. And I'm the most guilty of anyone here. You know, you may think because I try to preach or pastor the church that that's my job, but that's... We should all be ministers in that respect. There's always someone out there that needs a cool cup of water, as Brother George would say, a cool glass of water. There's always somebody out there that needs our help. And friends, if you help them like Brother George helped them, you're going to make some sacrifices, are you not? I tell you, he made more sacrifices for God's people than any man I ever known. And I'm not here to lift him up. I'm here to tell you about a man that lived for the Lord. He didn't live for the world. He wasn't a man that walked by sight. He was a man that walked by faith. And I know it. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a sinner. But you know, God tells each one of us to be those types of examples unto our children, unto our grandchildren. We're to pass that on, that our children might see that and that they might walk in the ways of the Lord. You have to give up a lot to serve Jesus here in this world that's full of temptations and desires that our flesh eat up day in and day out. He says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. I mean, this goes for money or time. In other words, does it grieve you to have to take away from your nap? Does it grieve you to have to take away from your TV program? Does it grieve you to have to take you away from some form of entertainment or just whatever it is you want to do? If you go do something for someone, is there sorrow in your mind? Is it a struggle to get there and do it? You see, I told you this giving begins with the heart. It's a matter of the heart. This is not my words. This is the words of God. This is the words of God. Don't give grudgingly. You know, have you ever given money and when you handed over the $100 bill, you just couldn't hardly let go of it? It just nearly kills you to let go of that $100 bill or that $1,000 bill. You know, we hold on to that money like it's going to go with us forever. But you know, what money you and I have is God's money. It's not ours. He lent it to us for a time until we pass from this life and go on. I believe that's why when we get older, we realize that giving something to someone, to, at least in my opinion, is far greater than receiving something. When I was a kid, all I could care about was the receiving end of things. What, how many presents I was going to get. Me and my cousins, we was all, who was going to get the most and who was going to get the biggest. And, you know, all those kind of things as, that we do as youngsters. But as we mature and hopefully become more mature Christians, we realize that that giving is far greater blessing to me, and I think to most adults, than it was when you was a child. And I think that's natural. But it says here, don't give and do it grudgingly. You know, if we're to give back, it means that we're to make a sacrifice. A couple of weeks ago, and I don't have all this right, and I didn't ask Sister April to bring this, but she read a story about a woman in an airport who was blind, who had an apple cart and was selling apples. And someone ran into this cart and just knocked it over and scattered these apples everywhere. And there were three businessmen fixing to catch a flight. And I'll never forget this. Two of them went on, and the one missed his flight for the sake of this woman. And he went back, and he helped her gather up all those apples, put them back on the cart, and he began to walk away, and this woman couldn't see. And she asked the man as he walked away, he said, "Are you Jesus?" I want you to think about that for just a minute. When you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Were you Jesus? He took the time, and he stopped to help this woman. He sacrificed his flight to help this poor blind woman gather up her apples, put them back on the cart when nobody else seemed to want to lend a helping hand. I can't tell the story as good as she read it off the paper, but I haven't forgotten it. When you go help someone and you go visit someone, you don't have to have all the money in the world. And we'll read a verse from there and close here in just a few minutes. But I tell you, it begins in the heart. God loves you, and he loves you in spite of all your sins and all your weaknesses and all your frailties. He loves you. And we know he loves us because he sent his son to die for us. That's how we know. He sent Jesus to die for us, to die the death that we should have died ourselves, to suffer the eternal wrath and punishment that we should have suffered forever. Not just a day. It wasn't just to die. It was to suffer forever. He gave his son. We ought to think about that when we give, when we're unwilling to make a sacrifice, whether it's to worship the Lord, to feed the poor, to go visit someone in need. I mean, they're everywhere. And what a blessing you are to them. You know, as we went and sang, Sister Burgess, and she's not able to come as much as she was, she just thanked us and sent me a card thanking us so much for going to her house and singing. You just can't believe what this means to those folks. But we had to make a sacrifice, didn't we? We could all went home and done something else Sunday afternoon. We sure could have. But I'm thankful that we still have a heart and a desire to do those kind of things. And I pray that we always will. He says, not grudgingly, that means grievous or sorrowfully, when you give, whether it's money. It says, or of necessity. That really means out of duty. Do you drop a check in the box? Do you go visit someone because you know, well, I went to church all my life and I know this is what I ought to do, so I'm going to go do it. That's what necessity means. It's you're just doing something out of duty. You're just going through the motion. It's not coming from the heart. The heart very well may be calloused over and seared over. But we need to take the time. And that's where I am. You know, I think I get so caught up in life. I get so busy that all of a sudden a week's went by and 2 weeks has went by and 3 weeks has went by and I'm not seeing anybody or visiting anybody. And friends, there's folks out there that can never get out of those homes. Folks in the hospitals. There's all kind of things we can do to minister unto God's people, to encourage them. As Brother Stephen Bloyd would say, I just want to encourage the Lord's people as long as I'm going to remain upon this earth. And that's my hope too. And he goes on, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful there means willingly. Willingly. God wants us to be willing because of what he's done for us. We are willing to make the sacrifice. You know the story of the 10 lepers. And I believe this sums it up about as good as it can be summed up in the Bible. God cleansed 10 lepers, and only one of them turned around and gave him thanks. All of them were cleansed. Every one of them were cleansed. They were clean from the disease they had. But only one of the lepers, 10%, took the time to turn around and even get God to thanks. Amazing, isn't it? The others were just as cleaned and cleansed as the one who turned around and gave him thanks. It says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You can't outgive the Lord. In other words, the Lord loves a willing giver, a cheerful giver, whether it be of your money or your time. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's going to take care of you. He's going to supply your needs. He's going to fill your voids. Maybe you miss out on something that you thought you was going to get in life. But God is going to give you joy and peace in your heart and soul that will abound. He's promised to do that. If you willingly give, cheerfully give from the heart, God says that His grace will abound toward you and you will be filled. You will not be without. Maybe you think if I give too much, I'll starve to death. God says you won't. If you willingly give from the heart, God said, you'll have what you need. You'll have what you stand in need of. I want to read a verse out of Acts chapter 2 and 3, really 3, but and we're going to close here. The verse that has had this on my mind so much about especially taking time to help others. It began in the first verse, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go in to the temple, asked an alms. In other words, this man, from the time he was born and old enough to realize what was going on, was carried down to the temple daily to ask and for things that he stood in need of. Matter of fact, it even shed some new light on me this morning. This man was a beggar. This is what he was. In our terms today, this was a beggar. You know, so often when we go down the road and we see someone at an overpass, and, you know, it's very easy to say, well, they're scamming us. And there are people out there scamming us. We're also told that we're to entertain strangers, that unawares we may be entertaining angels. So, you know, if God burdens your heart to give something to someone, just give it to Him and go on. Cast your bread upon the water. Don't worry about where it goes. You done what God burdened you to do. But seeing Peter about to go into the temple, he asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. This man thought he was fixing to be given something materialistic, something that he needed to get by from day to day. In verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then this is the verse I wanted. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Peter didn't have any money. And he made it very clear, I don't have any money. Now what Peter had, you and I don't have. What Peter done for this man, you and I couldn't do. But there's a portion of this verse, I believe, relates to what we can do. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Can we willingly say that to the folks that we love, to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Such as I have, I give unto thee. I give you my time. I sacrifice something out here for your benefit. Now he told this man to rise up and to walk, and he did. In the name of Jesus Christ, the apostles were given power to do things that you and I can't do. I can't cause a lame man to stand up. But the part of that verse that really sticks with me is, such as I have, I give to thee. We all have time. We do. We may not be willing to sacrifice the time that we have. We may feel that the things that are in our life are far more important. True giving finds its basis and its roots in love. And if you love someone enough, as God loved us, you will be willing to make the sacrifice necessary to show them how much you love them. That's what this giving is all about. You know, if you're like me, Peter said he didn't have any silver or gold. Well, I have some money, and I try to do with it the best that I can. But Peter didn't have any, but he had something. He had the ability to heal this man through the name of Jesus Christ. But you and I have the ability to encourage folks, to go see folks, to take time out of our busy lives, because we live in a time where there is no time. You know, it doesn't matter. It seems like every time we turn around and get something new in our lives to help us do something faster, we just add more to the plate. You know, there's never been a time like this time that nobody has any time. But it's always been about sacrifice. Giving has always been about a sacrifice. And God, thankfully, sacrificed the life of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where you and I would have the gift of eternal life. One where we will never perish. We will never cry. We'll never have any sorrows. And we'll live a life that we can't even possibly imagine. That's the gift that God gave us. When we think about giving back, we need to think upon what the Lord has done for us and what it really means to give. I don't care who you're giving it to. If you're giving it to your husband or your wife or your children, or more importantly, to your friends. The gift of time, I believe, is more important than the gift of money because we have so little of it. Most of us have more money than we have time. Whether you have as much money as you want, most of us have more money than we do time. But at some point, to see change, we got to be willing. If you want to understand that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, then we have to be willing to make a sacrifice. At some point in juncture, you know, we're told in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 that the church was in one accord. They were praying together. They were fellowshipping together. They were going from house to house. They were eating with one another, having meals with one another. And God added to the church tremendously. This is in the early days of the church. When you read that, would it be a blessing to see the church and the power of the Spirit upon God's people today the way it was in the early church? They were in one accord, meaning of one mind. That meant their focus was on Jesus Christ and what He had done for them and what they could do for Him in the furtherance of His kingdom. Those that had land, they went and sold their land. They sold all their possessions and laid them at the feet of the apostles. And no man lacked. It was distributed out to all. What a blessing that'd be. It's God's anyway, is it not? You know, we got it over here, and we got a grip on it, don't we? We ain't going to let it go. But it's God's. One day we will let it go, and it won't go with us. But it all begins in the heart. And like I said, this has been on my mind and mostly about time, more so than monetary, of taking the time to be with those who are hurting, those who are having difficulties, and there's plenty of them out there to choose from in this world. But you got to make a sacrifice. And by your sacrifice, it will manifest how much you love the Lord. That's really what this does. By your willingness. See, God loves a cheerful giver. That means a willing giver. If we do it grudgingly, if we do it out of necessity, then I believe that teaches us that we don't love the Lord the way that we should, because He loveth a cheerful giver, a willing giver, one who realizes that God will take care of him no matter how much he gives. As Brother George used to say, you can't outgive the Lord, and you can't. He will sustain you. He will get you to the end of your day, and one day you won't need all this stuff anyway. But may God bless us to realize that we need to make a sacrifice. And that sacrifice needs to be rooted in the love that we have for one another. And that we can give up some things for the benefit of one another, for our brothers and our sisters, for our family, but most importantly for the Lord Jesus Christ.